Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a Lohan Beach Club recap episode. What? I'm joined by Jenna Brister, who, Jenna, you've been on the show recapping. You did the very first Lohan Beach Club recap with
yes.
me. And your boyfriend and my friend, Jonna Wilson, is also joining us.
Yes.
And we have a lot to talk about. How are you guys doing?
Really good.
Fantastic.
We binged the last two episodes last night, so it's fresh.
Yes.
Right.
We're doing great.
You know, I want to say up front that I'm hopped up on DayQuil.
Yeah.
I woke up like very congested and I watched the episode on DayQuil, which was an experience. Like, I find that you really should be sober to try to follow along with these storylines.
Yes.
And watching with DayQuil, I just thought like, I wasn't sure what was happening. And we're going to do our best to recap this episode. But as always, this episode made no sense.
Yeah.
No.
Little to no sense.
I mean, we had to watch with a couple of cocktails just because of the anxiety of jumping back and forth between storylines and who's in love with who now on day 14.
But... Yeah, and Gabby is a shapeshifter and can just time dash across storylines, you know?
Gabby was, that was confusing. We were talking about last week. They presented Gabby as if she was going to be in this huge storyline on the beach club and with the VIP clients. And then she just went away with Alex.
Yeah. She's in two of the main storylines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I love. I want to know what the idea behind that with Alex, right? Going to meet his Yaya. Or not me. I think they'd met before, but going to go talk to her. And then they just, he mentioned on the show too, he's like, and they just brought, you know, Gabby and Aristotle, who I just met, to go see my grandma.
Goddamn sense.
And there was no
resolution either, because it seemed like they were setting up for him to come out to his grandma, but then he never did. So it's like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
I did appreciate him saying, like, you know, she's 90 years old. Just let her die and not freak out. Because he talked about how his mom, like, really went through it. And he was just like, you know what? Sorry, MTV. I'm not doing this for you.
Yeah, through that. And she was 90, right? But she had, like, no gray hair.
Sharp as a tack.
Yeah,
sharper than Lindsay. Sharper than Lindsay.
Yes.
No teeth. Did not care at all.
Yeah. She was
when
cool.
When she whipped out her smile, it made me laugh out loud. She was just, like, owning it.
Yeah.
You know, my parents told me not to come out to my grandpa before he passed. He died like a year ago, I think. And literally, like, my boyfriend Matt would come home for Christmas every year, and my grandpa would be like, so are you dating anyone? And we would just be sitting there like, we are.
Yeah.
But it was, and my parents would just be like, just don't tell him. It's too much. And it was just literally like, I don't even feel like dealing with the drama. Like, I understand that it's maybe I should be stronger or something. I don't know. But I was like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, Alex, I think, is my favorite guy on the show, actually.
Yeah.
He seems just he seems like the most level-headed of anyone.
Yeah. Well, everyone does compared to Lindsay. I mean, almost everyone does.
It's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
But...
You guys, real quick, before we get into this week's episode, we have to give a Dina Lohan update. Now, Lindsay's been on social media because Dina came in fourth, or she was in the top four on Celebrity Big Brother, which was shocking.
Yeah.
And she got out of the house. And Dina, I've said this before, like, she was so cute on Celebrity Big Brother. Like, I really fell in love with her. And totally different than Lindsay. It was, like, weird to watch them at the same time. But when she got out of the house, like, Lindsay went after CBS, Tamar Braxton, who won Celebrity Big Brother. She was the winner. Like, Lindsay was tweeting them, like, I'm going to tell you the truth, or I'm going to come out with the truth, like, what you guys did to my mother, Dina. And it was, like, all this stuff. And then Toni Braxton eventually chimed in. Like,
relative. This is a relative's fight.
It was the most bizarre thing. Like, Toni said something like, stay in your lane, Lindsay, or something like that. And
Herbie
then,
Fully Loaded diss, obviously.
Call back. then Lindsay came out and said, like, it was somebody else took over my social media. Like, somebody had my passwords or something. And that was a time where, again, I've been on the fence this whole time I'm watching this Lohan Beach Club. I'm like, should we be watching? Should we be encouraging Lindsay? Because I'm not sure that she should be on TV.
Right.
Agreed.
I don't think that she should be, right?
No.
I don't think so either. There was, I feel like there was no pre-production on this show. They just went right into it, and Lindsay was like, you guys didn't realize. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, she casually mentions in last night's episode that she fired her manager. She was like, over text, you know, whatever. And I was like, so you have no one managing this or a publicist or anyone being like, hey, so you're not camera ready in any sense of the word. Yeah, it's just Panos.
It's just Panos. Yeah. It's like, Panos. It's shocking. And
he has better makeup than her, too.
Yeah, Brent seemed to have some eyeliner.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Feel like, I mean, of course I'm recapping this for my show, but I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be watching it. Yeah. Like,
I know. Yeah. I know.
But here we go.
Okay, so Dina. Okay, sorry. So back to the Dina thing.
Oh, yeah. So Dina came in fourth, and it was just a road to nowhere. It was just like Lindsay doing crazy things on social media and then saying, oops. It was like, and there's just a lot of other bizarre behavior on Lindsay's social media. Like, she was promoting the show. She's like, everyone watch tonight. And it wasn't the night of the show's airing. It was like, and I had like commented on it. It's like, your show airs tomorrow. And then like, all of these Lindsay people like came after me. They were like, well, she's in a different spot. She's in Greece or Dubai. And I literally Googled it. I was like, well, it's still tomorrow in Greece. Or, you know, like, it's still not
it's
that
still
time.
Not right.
She should know.
And I know that.
That
people are defending like who they love, but I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying like, promote your show properly. The live videos are troubling.
Troubling. The whoring out your fake employees is troubling.
There's like a lot happening. Yeah. And you know, it's a lot. But so last week on the show, she had fired May. And so I thought we were opening with that, like May's going home, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Almost immediately, like May starts telling everyone about her firing. They start taking shots, which was weird because it was like, are we celebrating May's firing? Mm-hmm. And then again, unclear, like, are they working?
Yeah.
Just taking shots. Mm-hmm. And then Lindsay rehires May.
Yeah.
She's back on board because she cried.
Mm-hmm.
And because Lindsay sees herself in May. Is what she said. And the lotus tattoo that Lindsay's sister has as well.
Yeah,
those are grounds for rehiring.
Yeah, it was so messed up how it all unfolded too, because didn't May, she was like, I've seen domestic violence, and then Lindsay pulls her aside and goes, tell me everything that happened. And I'm like, where is HR? What is going on?
Yeah, there is no and HR then, at Lindsay at the Lohan Beach Club.
No.
And then rehires, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, someone else has to go. It's like, are those the rules here? Are those like, what are the rules?
There are no rules.
There are no rules. There are no rules, and it's not right.
Yeah. It's, what was that? Do you guys remember the movie Scream? Wasn't the tagline like, there are no rules? Or Scream 2 was like, then we break the rules. Or do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, I feel like that's the Lohan Beach Club. Like, first rule is there are no rules. Yeah. So like, it doesn't make any sense. And the lotus flower tattoo, it was like, what the fuck? Like, you saw the flower tattoo, so you're hiring back. And then she's like, I can't fire anyone. Like, Panos has to do it.
Yeah.
And then she was just out of the next scene. And Panos was like, Jules, you know, you have to go. And she was like, oh, wait, I thought we were having a conversation about how I can be a better employee. He's like, no, just leave.
Just get out of here.
And she was like, fine. She didn't cry or anything. That's why she actually made it off the show.
Yeah. It didn't make, I know, if Jules, do you think Jules would have stuck around if she...
Actually, no, because Lindsay seemed to have it out for Jules from the beginning.
Like, I agree.
Lindsay really harped on the fact that Jules was a model, and she was like, listen, I know you. You can't get over wanting to be a model. That's you, and you're like, in that box now forever. And Jules was like, I don't want to be a model anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Jules said in her confessional that her dream was to have a makeup line or a jewelry line.
Yes.
And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you.
It doesn't really. She probably set her goals.
But yeah.
Then
start making
figure
some
it out.
Jewelry, I guess. Yeah. Right? Like, go home. Start welding. I don't know what you do. You know.
It was also very unclear, like as it is almost every scene of the show, like what time we're at, and sometimes they give us the time, sometimes they don't. But there was a moment, so like, while all of this hiring and firing was going on, Brent and Sarah were like off talking about how they were breaking up because they wanted to be professional. And then they
While on the clock.
While on the clock, but then
they want to be professional. Right, yeah, right.
But then it was nighttime. Like, I was watching their scene and it looked like nighttime, but then I thought we were in the morning time during the firing and hiring. So it's just like, I don't know, maybe it just bends time and space, like this whole island.
Yeah.
It's like lost or something.
I think they're just hoping like people are like, well, no. It's a totally different time zone, so we're just going to let it go.
You don't have to explain it.
They don't understand what time zones mean.
And then no one's going to like analyze it like we are. Like that does not, there's no continuity. And that's what's so weird. Yeah.
And sometimes they'll say, like, every week I say when they do their staff meetings, it's a different time. Like, sometimes it's 10 a.m., sometimes it's 1 p.m., sometimes it's 3 p.m.
Right.
It's like, what time are we getting to work? Mm-hmm. That's all, at bare minimum, I just want to know, when do they report to work?
Yeah.
Yes.
In one scene, it was 4 p.m. It was towards the end of the episode, and the beach was empty. All the chairs were empty, but it was like, the sun was sort of setting.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, do you guys close?
Yeah.
Like, is that a thing?
It literally makes
no sense. That's crazy to me that you would close before dark.
Yeah.
Right?
And Panos, his whole explanation for like the confusion is just like, it's Lindsay Lohan. What do you expect?
That's his explanation for a lot of things.
A lot of things.
When May got rehired, he was like, she's Lindsay.
It's Lindsay.
That's why.
Wait, do you do it? You do a good Panos.
I guess I do a Panos. Yes.
Yeah. Jenna, do you do a Panos?
I don't know. It's Lindsay. No, Jono's the worst person. He's so much better.
I've been trying to think of a Lindsay. Like, I wanted to work on a Lindsay, but I haven't quite gotten it there yet.
It's just like a girl Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Wait.
Also, when she was, like, rehiring May, remember her? She had professional career advice for her. She goes, just put up a hard shell around you. That was
your advice to a 22-year-old.
Shut yourself off.
Like, yeah, just, you know. And mm-hmm. I was like, Linz, that clearly worked for you. No.
She said to May, she said, why do you feel so insecure? Because I do all the time. Like, she's always just like mind fucking these people.
Yes.
Like, they are literally like sitting there. You could see in May's face, like, what is Lindsay talking about? Like, and they, by the time they even understand like what the conversation is, Lindsay's just sprinted away. Like, she always just like sprints away. And you could just see on their faces, like, what the fuck just happened? And I feel like in reality shows, they usually will film a scene like that for an hour or something. But I feel like with Lindsay, she's like, I'll give you 12 minutes.
Yes.
So then it's like she gives them 12 minutes of like where she goes in and she's like, I'm going to nail this scene. And then she runs away and they're all just like, what the fuck happened?
Yes.
Makes sense.
That scene actually seemed abusive. Like, mm-hmm. Lindsay was being abusive to May. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the scene later with Kayla. I felt like it was the same kind of thing with the boyfriend talk. It was like Lindsay was talking them in circles. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't fucking understand what was going on.
She seems kind of like a mom who is watching a bunch of friends or like a bunch of like nieces, nephews and her children talking. And then she butts in on conversations and she's like, you don't like me, and I don't know why. And people are like, what are you talking about, mom? Like, please stop drinking so much Chardonnay.
Yeah.
I wonder what it is. If there's any sort of substance, it seems like there's something going on. But maybe it's just, this is how Lindsay is now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
It is really odd.
And then meanwhile, it's like they cut to a scene right after that, after Lindsay has that conversation with May, they cut to a scene of like Alex and the Yaya and the other area. Mm-hmm. And I think like, oh, we're back in here. We're going to have like a full scene. But it was literally just like a quick cutaway. Like nothing happened. It was just they were over there and then that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know if like the Greece tourism board was like, okay, you guys can air this shit show, but we need some normal people scenes, like a slice of life. And then when Alex was like, well, I got a yaya on one of these islands, I'm like, good, take the two most normals, you know, or like, and go.
I feel like they're all like high school AV club students, like making these episodes and they're just like editing them together and like figuring it all out as we go.
Yeah.
It's very on the fly.
Yes.
So no one, so May's rehired and May goes up to everyone else, all these other cast members, and tells them, and they're all so confused. Like everyone is like, what the fuck is going on?
They also seem to be like mad about it to her face.
Yeah.
They're also like, why? You don't do anything.
Yeah.
Literally.
And it was sad that Jules went home too, because like her and Mike were friends. You know,
they seem to have like a real connection.
Yeah. It just was so strange.
Did you catch what Lindsay said about Jules? She said she was boring. And then Lindsay said, God bless her and her Christian soul.
Yes.
And I thought, is that like religion shade? Like, I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Because she
seems so like white.
It was very off. It was very weird to me. Like, God bless her and her Christian soul. I thought, like, I don't know.
A weird shade.
Weird shade.
Unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like mm-hmm. Jules was like, oh, yeah, I got to leave this. I got to go pray. I guess that's not even Christian. Like,
and like, you know, and also a weird thing, because like, I don't think we've ever seen anything about Jules being religious on the
yeah,
show.
I don't think so.
It was like,
yeah.
One of my favorite moments, though, was when Jules did get fired and she goes back to the group and she's like, I guess I'm going home. And then May's like, or she goes to May. She's like, we're going to go together. Like, yeah. And May's like, actually, I'm staying.
Yeah.
And Jules was just like, what?
Yeah.
What?
You cried and you're going to stay.
And then yeah. Jules made a good point about saying, okay, I guess I'm going home, but the girl who punched another girl in the face is staying. Mm-hmm. And like, Brent has had intercourse with one of these people in the.
Brent's
and
literal he's staying. Monster.
Yeah. But okay. Like, yeah. It kind of seemed like when she realized that, she was like, you know what? I don't want to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And Janita wasn't in this episode, like, at all.
No, was Janita even there? Who knows? Probably unclear. Like,
unclear.
Sort of anger training, maybe.
They did cut back to that fist fight, which this was the first episode where I noticed the editors were making Lindsay look bad. I feel like every episode up until this point, they've been trying their best to like make Lindsay look better, even though there would be moments where she'd reference Putin or have like a Russian hat or hat. And it's like, what the fuck?
Make erratic choices.
Yeah.
Yes.
But this was an episode. It was like Jules said, I can't believe they kept the girl that punched someone. And then they flash back to it, which I wouldn't think they would do in previous episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, later when Kayla was talking about Lindsay, they kept that in her confessional, being like, Lindsay's crazy. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They also allowed a lot of things to be said that didn't seem like it was backing up the Lohan brand, as Lindsay loves to say. Like, she said at one point, I wrote this down, she said,
wait, will you do a Lindsay accent?
I think she's kind of like, it's not, that's terrible. She said, Panos is the kind of person who's Greek. He's bop, 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 it's done. He's the kind of person who is Greek.
What?
Bot, 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 it's done.
Yeah. You know those Greeks.
Okay, no wacko, one. We're putting that in there.
Yeah. None of it makes any sense. It
makes no
you
sense.
You literally get whiplash as a viewer. We're watching it. And we're like, what the fuck did she just say? And then we're already moved on. So it's like, we don't even process it. Yeah. We're just like the cast members on
the show. The show has ADD.
It does. And then... So Jules leaves and Mike was really sad about it. And I just want to say, I don't know if anyone follows Mike on social media, but he was saying that he was upset at MTV because apparently he had more of a relationship with this Jules. Mm-hmm. And he said on, I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, but he was saying he said MTV wants to paint him as just straight up gay instead of bisexual because apparently he had like an actual relationship with her or something.
Yeah.
And he posted clips of them like making out, which was a weird choice. And, you know, so he's mad at MTV.
Yeah. I wonder why they would do that. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past anyone, to be honest, especially when it comes to the
and they don't even know what they're
producing.
Doing.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I don't even know that they're making these choices.
Yeah.
That's weird. There are other shows that the producers have a vision for what they want.
And literally then every other show.
And then when you get a twist, you're like, I didn't see that coming, but it makes sense. In this one, we are twisting and turning for really no good reason. And, and there's zero vision. like you said, like it started out like, okay, the whole purpose of this is to show these people trying to support the Lohan brand. That's our idea.
The Lohan
brand.
And
now it's like, Lindsay's crazy. Let's just explore that.
Maybe she only had executive like, powers for the first 6 episodes, and then they didn't have to show her now and until the end because you know whatever's gonna happen with Kayla,
the powers
and, like,
ran out.
Yeah, and I mean we have to talk about the lobster thing, like for
oh,
no
yeah
reason.
We never gave a lobster update. The lobster I'm sure the lobster's dead.
Definitely she beelines it for the cooler.
Poor thing is
you know
still dead.
For no reason.
She thought she really made a move.
Yeah,
she's like, I really saved that lobster.
Yeah.
But she killed it.
Yeah, I think
she didn't even like watch to see if it walked on the very clear ocean floor. She just walked away and was like, I saved that lobster, and then like kept going.
Yeah, he's my Sebastian, which I don't know. I mean, I don't have like a crustacean degree, but are you not supposed to put lobsters on ice? Because she made that seem like it was like at Lohan Beach House, we have strict rules about icing our
shellfish. Well, she said
shellfish.
You don't put it. Well, yeah, she said you can't put a lobster on ice at the Lohan Beach Club. As if that's
on
a standard that the Lohan Beach Club you know, lives by that no other place does. But if a lobster is dead, which that lobster was straight up dead.
Yeah. The camera guy stayed
also,
on
I
it.
Wasn't you can sure. I don't think she took off the claw hand. You know, like
the handcuffs.
I think they were still handcuffed when it went in the ocean.
So if that thing was alive,
you can't even hunt.
It was just she just tortured it more. Like other, she tortured it more.
Yeah,
because other animals in the sea just attacked it, and she the poor fucking lobster couldn't do anything.
I hope a PA dove in. I hope they're like, once she gets inside, Derek, you're diving in.
What
face
do you think
first
these?
To, like,
camera people are thinking while they're filming her.
Oh my god.
Like, do you think they're laughing at her?
They're probably like, what do we do? What And that's the thing we were talking about too, about their job. And that's what's so hard. It'd be fun if it was more like the challenge. Let's say where it's like there's a clear like, oh, you get this many cabanas, this many bottles, and they showed it almost like Nintendo, where it's like, Jewel sold a cabana. Ding, you know?
Yes.
So we kind of understood that there's a job.
Well, there's this show Below Deck on Bravo, and usually, like, every episode's about a different charter. So they'll charter yachts. And at the beginning of the charter, the captain will meet with, like, the chief stew and the chief of the deck crew, or the head of the deck crew. And they'll show a list and say, this is the people coming on the yacht, this is the client, and they'll show us. And then at the end of the charter, they'll literally have a moment where they get the tip and they tell us what the tip is.
Mm-hmm.
And they just make it so clear. And it's just like there's drama that happens throughout the middle of the episode, but it bookends with like the introduction of these guests and then the ending. And it's like Lohan tries to sort of do that, but they'll be like, these are the VIP clients that are coming. It's a bachelorette party. And then it's just like,
yeah,
we don't know what happened with it. Yeah. It just ends. Or I think today, wasn't there one? It was like a family came in this episode.
There
and
were
it was
children.
Like, there were children. And then they were just gone. Like, we didn't see them go. We didn't see. I would have liked to know, did they leave a tip?
Yeah.
Like, did anybody do a good job?
Did anyone,
like, why is Brent not getting, like, is he? Because, frankly, if he was doing a really good job, if he was bringing in a ton of revenue, then I would be like, all right, it makes sense that he's still around.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's all I know about him is that he slept with one of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're seemingly keeping everyone for good TV, which makes sense, but the rules of it don't make sense.
Yeah. Like, and then May got invited to the wedding of that bachelorette party. They were like, I love you, you're coming, you're my plus one. I was like, can we follow that?
Yeah,
like,
let's follow
yeah,
that
yeah,
story.
It was great, but let's go to this wedding where the May is invited.
Like, they all came back, and it was just like that whole storyline with Yaya went nowhere. And then we cut to the next day, and they have a staff meeting, and I love the staff meetings, but I noticed like Panos was doing a mind fuck there because he was like, I'm in a bad mood today. And it was like, then in his confessional, he was saying, I know they're all upset because of May, so I had to let them know I'm in a bad mood. And it was like, that was such a mindfuck because he's like, I'm going to tell them I'm in a bad mood before they're able to tell me, like, they're upset with me.
It was gaslighting.
It was. It was like, so, I thought, like, that was, they were literally walking into frame and Panos was like, I'm in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like, so no one can say anything to you. Like, that's what you're telling them.
Did you see that he had his legs crossed and both of his feet were on the ground?
Yes, it was pretty incredible.
I don't know how that you can, like, dislocate your hips. It was like this, but both of them were on the ground.
Yeah, I'm sure people are trying it right now, but both heels were on the ground.
Not just the toe.
Yeah, go, try it. Yeah, see, you can't do it.
It does seem like gaslighting now that we talk about it.
You can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it works.
Yeah.
It does work.
But that is such a weird management style. We're like, okay, what is the goal?
He said, I wrote up something else. Like, okay,
voice.
Was this is the staff meeting where Kayla brought up problems? So
maybe,
Kayla,
unclear.
I think so, yeah. I think was. This was on, yeah, whatever, morning or night or whenever the hell it was. Kayla, like, brings up problems about what's going on with the people in the house and how the atmosphere is not conducive to being good workers at the beach club.
Wait, re-say that sentence because workers at a beach club.
No.
That's the best way we could describe it.
Yeah.
That is the absolute best way.
I don't know what they are doing.
They're not ambassadors.
Business cards would say that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, like if you have an office job and you are having a problem with another person you work with, you'd go to HR, your manager, and you'd say, listen, here's the situation. How do we figure it out? Panos' response was, I don't want to hear about your problems.
I'm not interested. Funny.
And then he asked one of the girls if she was gay, which you can't do. I don't know if it's different in Greece, but if your manager just looked at you and was like,
yeah,
are you gay?
Trying
you can't
out,
do that.
Yeah, trying to out
you a
people.
Homo?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, and I was wondering,
are you gay?
Yeah,
are you gay? I need to learn how to do a panos.
Yeah, are you gay?
Calm down.
He also panos shaded his godson in this moment. He said the VIP clients that were coming have kids, and he's like, I have a godson. I hate my godson.
Yeah,
I hate them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
okay.
I hope they left that in. That is funny that they left that in.
TMI.
That's, yeah. That's on purpose.
Panos and Lindsay are slowly becoming the villains, and Kayla is rising to, it seems like she's rising to be the
it's
hero.
It's like a challenge.
I'll tell you what, I talked to Kayla last week on the show, and I like really fell in love with her. I wasn't expecting much, and people, I don't remember seeing her on the challenge. Like, I watched the challenge, but I don't really remember her on there. And some people said that she was, like, really aggressive or, like, a bully on the challenge.
Last season, she was very aggressive and got kicked off pretty soon after getting there.
I don't remember that.
But the season before, I liked her because Cara Maria walked around like, you know, her shit don't stink. And Kayla was like, listen, I'm just as good as you. I don't care if I've only been on this for 5 seasons, whatever.
She checked her.
She checked her, which is what she's doing with Lindsay, which I appreciate.
Which I think that's why they brought her in, because they're like, okay, this is your storyline. Just call out whatever you see. And she's great at it.
I mean, out of everyone, she's the one who like knows how to do reality TV. Yes. Like the other ones seem to not have any idea. Like Brent is sort of trying to find his way of like how to be the villain.
Right.
But everyone else is just like, they're fucking deer in headlights. Like they do not know how to make reality TV.
No.
And Kayla at least like came in and was like with a clear purpose of just starting shit and like calling everything she sees out.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, I like really liked her, and I found her very sweet. I mean, of course it was only over the phone, but I found her so sweet. And so like everything she was saying about Lindsay and the show and Panos seemed accurate.
Yeah. Like we need to spin off of just like the behind the scenes. Like
the fact that like one of the storylines was Sarah sitting in a cabana with an Instagram model who was telling her to find what she loves in life and do that. Like
do that.
As life advice, I was like,
and Sarah started crying.
And Sarah started crying. And then Sarah walked back, and Panos walked over, and he's like, you are the star of today. And I was like, why?
Yeah. The Instagram model was obviously coached too, because she was like, what are your dreams? I'm like, at what point would you ever go to a beach club, buy a cabana, and then ask the worker what their dreams are?
After complaining after complaining that one of the guys didn't carry her enough like a bride over to the cabana.
Oh, that was great.
It is so wild, you guys. They also loved Kayla in the middle of the episode. Like Panos and Lindsay said they love her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it switched. It was revealed that Kayla works at rehab in Vegas. Have you guys ever been? Because I've been.
I have not been.
I have too.
I've had some of like two of the best days of my entire life. Yeah. I had when I was 20 years old or 19 or something, I snuck in with my brother's ID. We went for my oldest brother's bachelorette party.
Yeah.
And I saw John Stamos there, first of all.
Oh, nice.
And it's a good start to the day.
I was like 20 years old, so I was like underage, just like Malia Obama.
Yeah.
drinking underage. But I remember it was like the best day because I thought I was so cool because it was all these like older people. And then my sister-in-law, she's now my sister-in-law, but we were walking to like, I don't know, grab a drink or food or something. And we walked past John Stamos's cabana. Uh-huh. This is totally unrelated to Lohan Beach Club,
this is great.
Here we are. But so John Stamos like hit on my sister-in-law, and my sister-in-law was like, my brother has a crush on the Olsons. Are they here? Like she said something along those lines. And John Stamos was so drunk, and he pointed at his dick, and he said, the twins are right here.
No.
Oh my God.
I know. It was like
Mary-Kate Ashley.
And then we took a photo with him, and we were asking the guy he was with to take the photo, you know, and it was Drew Carey. We were like,
Drew Carey and John Stamos were hanging out at rehab in Vegas.
And we didn't recognize Drew Carey because it was during his, even
he
though
he like just dropped a ton of weight.
He had
something.
Just dropped. And because he's from Cleveland too. And like, so he's like a legend where I'm from. And he was, but we didn't recognize him because he looked really different. It was like around that time he like lost all the weight. Yeah. And John Stamos was like, "You want a picture with him too?" And we were like, "Okay." And then we realized it was Drew Carey. But
that is that's hilarious.
A great story.
Said the twins. The twins are right here.
They're right here.
Oh, so good.
I feel like we should leave this podcast and go to rehab.
Yes,
it really is crazy.
It is. And then her reason for like being mad at Caleb was because her ex Harry Morton.
He owns it or something.
I was like, that's a hilarious like reference.
I also went with college friends or high school friends, but we went when we were of age at that time. And oh my God, it's just the messiest place ever. Too. It's the messiest. Yeah. Like it's daytime. Everyone is blackout drunk.
Yes.
And it's just so fun if you're when you're young.
Yeah. And they're blaring the jams.
They're blaring music.
You really need to be like in that mood.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not ready to get aggressive at 9 a.m., then do not go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wait in line all morning to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, we need to go, even though I feel like maybe now we're maybe too old for
No, I mean, like, as long as we make our minds up that we're going to be those people that day, then we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You just lean into it.
You just lean into it.
You just lean into it.
The minute you hesitate,
yeah,
it's like blood in the water and all the 22-year-olds are sharks.
Back at the Lohan Beach house, like the house that they're all living in, we see a scene between Brent and Sarah where Brent starts talking about being suicidal and his depression, which I always appreciate when people talk about their depression and mental health on TV. However, it was hard to watch because he was so drunk and I couldn't tell if he was being honest about it or if he was just like so drunk that he was like, I'm going to make a scene up right now. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And I hate to doubt, I don't mean to doubt someone's mental health, but that's how it kind of felt, like his eyes were so glazed over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you never know the intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It came at a time when he really needed to show Sarah that he was vulnerable and not like a monster. So it came at a time when it wasn't like what? Why are you bringing this up?
Why
right
are you bringing
now?
Him out? Yeah. And he started talking about his grandma.
And it's like day 14 again of them all even knowing each other
exists. Please remember.
Yeah, this is like day 14. They've already had a relationship and broken up. I'm like, that's insane.
And also, he talks about being bullied. He is a bully. Yeah.
People, two different, maybe even three, two different people DM'd me that said they went to high school with him and said he was the bully in high school.
Oh, rewriting the narrative.
They showed the picture of him and his grandmother, and he actually looked like he was kind of like a big meathead.
Yeah, he looked like very handsome. Yeah.
So bully people. That's so funny.
I mean, that's what they told me.
Yeah.
But he did say the reason why him and his grandma were so close is because she always had a cookies and cream blizzard waiting for him.
Yeah.
That was his reason.
It's a really selfless thing. Yeah.
He's like, so we were really close.
It was
close.
Also so specific.
Yeah. So specific. He's like, my grandma and I were really close. Like, she always had a cookies and cream blizzard waiting for me. So, like, we were close.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know what makes up a good relationship.
So, you know, we were close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that makes total sense.
And then they just moved right past it.
Yeah.
Sarah's like, oh, that tracks.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like, literally within 20 minutes of the episode, it's like we saw Brent and Sarah break up again. Mm-hmm. And then they're having sex. Like, we see the nighttime footage.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, are they together? Are they not together?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah. I don't follow.
Yeah.
And I don't think they even know. No one knows.
I mean, like, Sarah was like shaming herself for getting back with him.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would help if the editors just like put things more like titles on screen or like graphics to be like Brent and Sarah back together now?
Yeah.
They should do what they do on X on the Beach. Have you watched X on the Beach yet?
I've watched one episode of
it. Really good.
They do a great job at, like, there's an announcer and he tells everything. It's so funny.
You think he's making fun of it
and
too.
He's, like, yeah, the announcer's totally in on the joke and he's like, all right, let me catch you up on what's going on with Danny. Danny used to be with Becca, but Becca was dating Joseph, and Joseph and Danny also had a thing going, so Becca didn't like Joseph or Danny until Danny got back with Becca, and Becca started dating Jeremy.
It's like that.
Funny. We need that for Lohan Beach.
For Lohan Beach. That's exactly
like Brent's a douche, pretends to be a bully, but he's not.
Yeah.
You know?
We need that. Like, we need that. We need graphics. We need someone spelling all this out for us.
Yes, we do.
I can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah. Anyway, it is weird. The only time they use Time Dash is just to show how long someone's waiting for the VIP clients in the cabana. It's like, okay, that's not that weird either. It's like, you just sit there because people take as long as they want to take.
Right.
So it's
they're
like,
VIP clients.
Yeah, it's like, I don't get the point.
The cast members are literally just standing around all day. Like,
yeah.
And I could only imagine what a mind fuck that is to film. To like, and Kayla had said, she said we would just stand there and like not know what to do. Like they didn't tell us what to do. And so it's like, you're just standing there thinking like, well, would like to work, but how do I work?
Yeah.
Lindsay seems like she's just partying at the beach club all day. And then the producers are like, hey, can you go yell at someone? And she just comes over, looks at someone from a distance for a little bit and then walks over and accuses them of something.
She's always running away. She's never scurrying. Like slowly walking or something. She's always scurrying away like a fucking cockroach. Like she's just like it's what's going on? Like where'd she go? Like where is she going? It's very
bizarre.
So we also saw, speaking of Lindsay, we got a joint confessional with her and Panos. And I feel like it was the first joint. Am I wrong? Like, it feels like the first joint confessional.
Yeah.
Which is
an interesting choice. And all the confessionals too, by the way, are different looking. Like, sometimes they're shot from above. Sometimes she's on like a stool. It's like, there's no consistency.
Right.
Sometimes they're very far back.
But I think you're right. I think it's because they never know where she's going next. Like, some of the confessionals look like she just walked 5 steps away from the table that she was just at. And she's like, I just didn't know what to do. And then it's over. And then she goes off.
Yeah. On the fly. Shot on the fly. Every single moment of this. So the yacht scene. So the end of the episode, we get this yacht scene, which was like Lindsay's going on a yacht, and she invites Brent, Kayla, and Kyle. Mm-hmm. Kayla and Kyle are the new people.
Kyle's nice.
Kyle seems great.
I know, like, and totally he's hot, too. I, like, really
he's
Kyle.
Cool.
Yeah.
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 He had a skateboard brand.
Yeah.
He revealed.
Yes.
We learn new things about these people
every line everyone wants to have. Their own line.
Their own line.
Yeah.
And then they took a boat to the yacht, and right when they got on there, did you notice, like, Lindsay just spraying them? It was just, like, so humiliating.
Just like,
She did that before with that fucking champagne gun, and it's like, you're an asshole.
It was mean. It didn't seem like it was all in fun. It was mean.
It was totally a bully thing to do.
Like, but you know Lindsay. You know Lindsay.
But that's Lindsay.
That's a Lindsay Lohan. That's what we do with the Lindsay Lohan.
She's a bleeding heart. But she's also a huge bitch.
That was good.
But yeah, that was weird. And then we never saw the people who were on the yacht.
No.
So they got brought out there to
And then
what?
They fought, and all of a sudden Lindsay's like, okay, you get off the boat. I don't even know what accent I'm doing now.
It literally seemed like they just picked those three to go somewhere that was different so that Lindsay could start a fight with Kayla.
And they must have had, like, on the, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but like on a storyboard for a reality show, they would must have, like, Lindsay fights with Kayla. Like, most shows would, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's giving them too much credit. Like, they don't know that.
No, it seemed like they put Kyle there. Mm-hmm. Kyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle there because he hasn't had enough screen time. And then Kayla, because hopefully she and Lindsay would start a fight. And then they were like, also put Brent on there because he could, let's give him a chance to finally live out his villain persona.
Yeah. I mean, they know that Brent at least gives them something on camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was so weird. Yeah, how Lindsay came after her. It was, like, clearly planted. Like, she has a boyfriend back home.
She's like, so I know your motive. And it's like, what? She didn't even say anything.
What? Yeah. Yeah. She's like, no, we're good. It's cool.
She's like, so you want your boyfriend to work here? And she's like, well, I mean, he can't. It'd be great. And she's like, oh, I know your motive now.
It's like,
how is she supposed to answer that question? Like, if somebody asks you, would you like to see your boyfriend? Says yes or no, she's fucked with Lindsay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We have to talk about my favorite scene of the whole episode. And this was when Lindsay went into the kitchen on the yacht. And
thank you.
She said, Chef, when you're tired, I help. And then we just saw Lindsay, like, acting as a chef, which was to her just meant crushing up chips on a burger and putting, she put ketchup on the burger. Yeah. And then in her confessional, she's like, well, I'm Italian.
Yeah. She goes, in Italy, we use everything. I'm like, that is not a phrase. That's not, you're not Italian.
I know. All of a sudden she's Italian, which
you're
Italian.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And look, Italians do like to eat, but I don't think it's like an Italian trait to crush up chips and put ketchup on a burger.
No,
I think that's like a normal thing. Like she made sliders and she didn't make them. So the chef made
the
burger.
They were done. They were finished.
And then she was bragging in that confessional. Like,
oh my
God. Just was a
Michelin
star.
5-star restaurant.
Could you imagine? Like, there were open buns and then she was just drizzling Heinz all over them.
It was such a drunk thing to do.
We put everything on.
It's like nachos.
It was like, it was 3 a.m. and she was like, put some chips on this thing.
Yeah.
And then they reminded her the next day when she did her confessional, hey, but they were probably vague because they knew she was blacked out. And they were like, why don't you talk about all that stuff you did for preparing the burgers?
Oh,
and she was
Italian.
Like, well, I'm Italian, so I... And they just fooled her.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. I bet that chef was like, get out of here.
I know, get the fuck out of here. And also, I feel like Lindsay thinks she's like always cooking. Like, she thinks she's showcasing her culinary talents because she was like cooking that fish the one episode. And it's like, she's like, get me cooking.
Yeah.
She's becoming Thanos.
And it's like literally just, But she didn't cook anything. She just fucking crumpled up chips on a burger.
Yeah.
It's like everyone does that at barbecue. It's not a big, like, you're some culinary secrets.
Yeah.
You're not fucking Giada.
No. Bizarre.
Like, it's so, but it made me laugh so much.
And we also
it's an Italian tradition, she said. I was like, no, it's not, Lindsay. I'm Italian.
Use everything,
I just
all
did 23andMe. I'm Italian.
Yeah.
Nice.
I did just get my results back from 23andMe.
You did? How'd it go?
I'm mostly Italian, which was obvious. But it was interesting reports because you learn about the other little parts of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I did the Ancestry DNA one. And
did
I'm
like
super
that?
Welsh and Scottish and English.
Interesting.
That's it.
Mine was so boring. It was so...
Really,
what did you do 23 Irish? Or Ancestry?
I did 23. And it's just so Western European
white.
Really,
it's so boring.
See, I'm like a big, mix of like, there's some Asian, African, and all sorts of.
Whoa,
weird things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What part of Italy is your?
Mostly Sicilian.
Oh, cool.
Mostly Sicily.
Nice. Yeah,
but yeah, so I know where my people come from. We do crush up chips on a burger.
Yes, on sliders.
That's what the Sicilians are known for.
Doritos,
you know. It's like Sicilians are known for crushing chips on burgers and like the Godfather.
Yeah.
we really need to get some of Lindsay's DNA and just submit it to 23andMe because I would like to know like where's Lindsay from.
Well, I mean, like growing up, I think a lot of people did say like, oh, you know that Italian actress Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the Russian accent, her, yeah.
The great Italian actresses of this century,
Sophia Loren and Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Oh.
So then that was when the scene when Lindsay Lohan, she like, I don't know why I said her last name. that was when she overheard Kayla and you could just see her like peeking out the corner. And she did that last week when they were all in that other, where she gave them all the day off and then
she was like on the other side of the bar.
Yeah,
she
weird.
Ambushed them. It was so fucking weird. But she did that again where she was just like peeking in the back, like through the window. And she's like, I'm going to go get them.
Yeah. What kind of weird ass boss, right?
Yeah, and then she asked about the boyfriend.
Boss.
Yeah,
she's their boss.
It's so fucking crazy.
It's insane.
And they did break the fourth wall for a minute when they were talking about Kayla's boyfriend. Lindsay goes, "Should we bring him on the show?" And I was like, "Oh, they're referencing the show now? Like that was surprising."
Oh
to
yeah,
me.
Oh,
they said, "Should we bring him on the show?" And then that was when Lindsay was like, "I get the motive now." I was like, "You're fucking mind fuck."
Yeah,
she just talked her in circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, Kayla talked in her confessional about Lindsay being crazy, or she said something to that effect.
But then also, can we talk about Kayla's father's advice to her at the end of the episode?
Then she calls him on speaker.
She calls him on speaker. She's crying. And her dad is like, well, you know how to handle a bad boss. You tell them they're fucking idiot.
Yeah. They can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Tell them to fuck off.
Yeah. What he said? He was like, I'll tell her to go fuck herself because she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah. Really, bring the dad. Screw the boyfriend. Bring the dad on the show.
I know. We need to get this dad on.
And Kayla was like, I know, dad. You're right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Like, that's not good advice.
No. You know, I would like some more family members on. I don't know why we haven't seen Allie Lohan, Michael Lohan, Dina Lohan. Like, where are they?
Bring that lotus tattoo over, you know?
I know. We've heard enough about Allie's lotus tattoo. Bring her on the show.
You know, in interviews, Lindsay talks a lot about Allie. Like, I've been watching the interviews for these shows. And a lot of people are asking Lindsay about her music because, you know, people used to like some of her music. Mm-hmm. And she always, like, changes the conversation and mentions Allie. She's like, well, Allie's doing music now. Like, she's the musician, whatever. And it's like, well, why aren't we seeing Allie? Like, she seems to have such a reverence for her. Like, let's bring her on here.
Yeah.
Or Dina, too. She's fighting with fucking the Braxton
family.
Yeah, I'm shocked Dina isn't on the show.
They're going to have to switch it up soon because it's just so haphazard right now.
And even at the end of the episode, Lindsay is like, this is not a competition, but I swear at some point in an earlier episode she said this was a competition.
Yes. Like 100%. I remember
she did say that
they
right?
are competing against each other to see
who's crazy
can like sell enough or bring people to the club or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It 100% is a competition.
I know, and it's just confusing. Next week, in the previews for next week, we see that it's Pride, and there's more Lindsay versus Kayla. But we get that moment of, like, the Mykonos, you know, that viral clip of Lindsay dancing, where she's like...
Yes, do the Lilo.
Yeah. And that looks like it's on next week, which I'm thrilled about.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You know, I don't know if maybe I just already mentioned this, but Lindsay, in one of her lives, she did say that the show's been confusing edited-wise. Like, she said in her live that it was confusing, but... going forward that it was going to be more clear. But she said this last week, and it's like this week was still just as unclear.
Yeah. I bet she's just trying to respond to all the backlash. Everyone being like, this is confusing.
It makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I think she's trying to save it, too. She wants that second season.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Which they announced. Yeah. I swear they announced a second season at the very beginning, like after the first episode aired.
Really?
But now I feel like they're rethinking it because everyone's like, no one understands what's happening on this show.
Yeah. And who's, would it be like new ambassadors? Because I could never go into it now watching it.
No.
I mean, I guess you could if you were up for it.
Here's the thing. Like, they started bringing new people in way too soon,
oh, yeah.
I feel like.
Because we didn't even know the other people
yet. We didn't know them at all. And now we're trying to catch up with everyone. And, you know, you throw a Yaya in the mix and it's like, what are we supposed to be concentrating on here?
Yeah.
Like this week, every week I feel like somebody shows up on screen. Like this week it was Aristotle where I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Forgot he even existed.
Totally. Yeah. And I'm like, he seems like a really nice guy. What's his deal?
Deal?
Yeah.
I know, they just sent him on that trip to Yaya, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It went nowhere.
Yeah. I know.
But I'm still loving the show. I just don't get any of it.
Oh, I'm going to keep watching.
It's a puzzle that we're all putting together.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're taking apart again.
I know.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
You guys, we talked a little bit about the challenge too. Are you guys watching this season?
Yes.
What are you thinking about the challenge?
Listen, I have a lifelong fan of the challenge.
Right.
I think I enjoy seeing new people come on. There are a couple people that I think are going to add some drama that I'm excited about. But kind of the same thing we're talking about with Lindsay right now. There are just too many people at this point.
Too many.
We got to have a purge soon. I am glad there's no redemption house. Because last season it was like, it took so long to get people off the show that it was kind of like, all right, enough is enough. Cut some people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm happy about that.
Last season was a little too long. Like,
it was too long.
And I had mentioned that I didn't remember if I don't even remember Kayla being on last season.
She was kicked off before like the first event.
Because it was so long though. And then it felt like last season they wouldn't even go anywhere. It's like they got kicked off and then go to the Redemption House. I think it was the longest season ever.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want that again. Like, I want I used to like them like short and succinct.
Yeah.
I also think it's really funny how, like, obviously the budget is way higher this season. So they're just throwing money at stuff that does not need to be there. Like, they're doing like the tug of war. And then at the end, a monster truck crushes those cars. I'm like,
that
why?
Cracked me up because it made no sense. Yeah. Like, do we really need to have TJ?
Not at all. Not at all.
No, he just ran over those fucking cars for no reason. It's like we could have measured it without it.
Yeah.
And also, it felt like it would have adjusted the ropes. Like they were doing that tug of war.
Totally.
It felt like the car running over it would have moved them around a little bit.
It's not a perfect science, monster trucks on cars. Like they don't all crush the exact same, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Also, that was it the first episode or the last one we watched? Where that girl, remind me her name, got called Eminem's mom in 8 Mile.
Oh, Ashley.
Yeah. Ashley, yeah.
She stole all the money from Hunter. Yeah. Hunter last season.
So some guy was like, you're like Eminem's mom in 8 Mile. And she got so offended. I was like, dude, I would love to be compared to Kim Basinger. I'd be like,
it's Kim Basinger.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah. But she was so mortally wounded by it. She was like, what?
And the guy who said it, he was one of the new guys. He's like the track star from London or whatever. Yeah. And he was like, I'm not trying to make fun of you. And she was screaming.
Yeah, she didn't get it.
Yeah.
She didn't get it.
No. Yeah.
I love that she took the money from Hunter last season. And I feel like now going forward, if they ever do that again, because Bananas did it and then now Ashley did it. It's like now they know they'll be infamous on the show if they do it. So they have to do it.
They have
They would, it's stupid for them not to do that.
And also, it would be loaded.
Also, after the, like, whatever it's called now, the killing floor or whatever it's called, this past week, Hunter beats Ashley, right? And then he gives her a hug and he's like, you know, I've got nothing but love for you. Go home and enjoy your money. And I was like, way to take the air out of that.
I know, that storyline.
Yeah.
I don't like Hunter at all. He bugs me.
He bugs me,
There's
too.
There's a lot of new people this season, though, that I don't know, and I'm not sure I'll like them, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. You know what really bugged me last season? The Young Bloods. Hunter, Corey, and Nelson, who, frankly, I think Nelson is one of the most unintelligent people
I don't understand.
Of all time.
Some of the people, I don't understand why they keep bringing them back.
I don't either.
I'm like, they're not interesting at all. No. It's like, why are they keeping
Corey
them?
Corey was like,
and Corey's on Team Mom now.
Oh, no way.
I don't watch it, but he's on Team Mom.
He was also on X on the Beach.
Yeah.
He's just like doing it all.
Go bungee jumping.
Is he that interesting to be on three shows?
Not at all.
It's like three shows you're on, like three hit shows. Like they're highly rated. It's like, why is he on three shows?
He'll be on the next Bachelor, probably.
Literally only on three shows because he's promiscuous.
I get worried too because I like all the vets, you know, because I've watched the challenge for so many years.
Yeah.
So like with so much new blood coming in, I always just worry like this means they're phasing out the people that we love and grew up with and stuff. And I like when they have like a Veronica on or like someone who's just like an old person.
Yes.
Like CT's married
CT's
now. He doesn't care.
Married,
he doesn't run anymore. Remember when they were like entering the place? He was just kind of casually
he was
strolling.
Walking behind with that dude Turbo.
Yeah.
He was just like, and then they were like, chatting. CT, here's your bed. And he was like, I know I was going to get a good bed.
Yeah.
He was like, you kidding me?
Yeah.
I've been here for years. Of course they're going to give me a good bed.
CT's come so far.
Yeah.
He really has.
Yeah.
And he's still an unbelievable athlete, which is mind blowing to me.
He's got
he
that
weighs
base.
Like 300 pounds.
He's got a good base. He's got a good base.
Yeah.
You know, I just filmed a little part in a movie that is produced by Jordan and Tori from The Challenge.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know when it'll be out, but it's like a tiny little part. But I saw them and they're great. And I think, I don't know. I think they said they're coming back at some point, but I don't know.
Okay, good.
Not this season. Maybe not this season.
They're a good couple to have on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't been on in a couple seasons.
They haven't been in a while, but they're like super big. Like they're producing this movie and Jordan has like a million different companies and Tori's got her own stuff going on. They're super busy. And I feel like they made the most of the, you know, some of the challenge people, which I love that people are coming back. Like I love that CT and Bananas, that's their job.
Yeah.
Like,
it's their job.
Just do it.
Yeah.
And I like that. And then there's other people I feel like just pop in and out. And that always confuses me because it's like, well, what's your real life like?
Yes.
Like, how are you able to just go for 3 months every 3 years?
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But I like the challenge. I always say, like, Matt and I are like, we're going to save up the whole season and binge it, and then we can't.
But it is tough to watch one episode at a time.
Yeah, one episode, because it always on a fucking cliffhanger, and then it's like, oh.
Yeah, let us see the who gets kicked off on every episode, please. Do not start that. When I see there are 2 minutes left and TJ's like, get ready, everybody. I'm like, oh, come on.
I know. It's always best. If you have a whole season to binge it, it's the best.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you so much for doing the show. What was I going to say? Where can people find you on social media? What do you have to plug? Like, do you have anything you want to talk about?
On social, I'm on Instagram as jenna.brister. And Twitter. I don't tweet that much, but I'm getting better. And I'm trying to think of anything that's coming out. Oh, listen.
That was like a little therapy moment. Like, I'm not that great, but I'm getting better.
But I'm getting better at it.
I'm working on it.
And I think we plugged this last time, but tune into iSurvivor on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this.
That's the podcast you co-host.
And we're coming back for season two, but there's 29 episodes. So binge season one of iSurvivor. It's really intense, though. It's not like fun and, you know,
Right. But it's hardcore stories.
It's dark. It's good.
Not like
this.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. 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 It's like fun.
It's inspirational in a different way.
Yes. Thank you, Danny. That's exactly right. There you go.
And Jono.
You can find me at Jono Wilson, J-O-H-N-N-O Wilson on Instagram and Twitter. Watch Jono and Michael Try Improv, or Jono and Michael Try sketches on YouTube.
So funny.
We've got a short that is nominated for best comedic short in the Oregon Film Festival this weekend. So, so that's great. And watch season 3 of Raven's Home on Disney Channel.
Oh my God, wait. Jono, wait. I didn't even get to ask this. So you're on Raven's Home.
I'm on Raven's Home.
Wait. Okay. So everyone sit tight. Pull over.
Because this is if you're driving. Over, yeah.
Tell me about Raven. How is Raven's Home going?
Raven is a boss. She's very sweet. I've only shot one episode, but they're bringing me back for more because I play her best friend's ex-husband.
Annalise Vanderpool's
okay. ex-husband.
I hate that I know that.
Who just got out of jail for embezzlement.
Wait, what?
And is British.
I've been in jail for 3 years. I'm British, and I just got out, and I'm trying to show my son that I can be a good dad still.
God bless the Disney Channel. Right? I'm shocked that there's a jail storyline.
I know.
Will you do the voice? Sorry to pimp you into it, but you're so...
Well, I just pretended I was Hugh Grant. Yeah. And I speak like this the entire time. Son, it's wonderful to see you. Yes, I was in jail. Yeah. Let's go on a car ride.
Wait, and you went to Raven also,
I
right?
was at a taping of Raven's original Raven.
That's So Raven.
One of my best friends, he lived in LA. He lives in Nashville now, but I came to visit and his friend was on Raven's Moan. That's So Raven. And I visited the set and we were at like a walkthrough, or it wasn't a table read, it was like a walkthrough or whatever. And Candace Cameron Bure was guest starring on it. And I had just broken my arm.
Full House references today. Very nice.
Very nice.
I know. I've met a lot of the Full House cast members. I also used to work for this morning show in Cleveland called Good Company. And Joey, what's his name in real life?
Dave Coulier.
He was like a guest. So I have met most of the Full House. I'm not trying to brag, but it's coming out that way.
And you've kind of met Mary-Kate and Ashley by being around John Stamos.
Yes.
I did have a Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister, Elizabeth, on the show before. So
there you go.
6 degrees.
Yeah.
She's great.
The Olsons are in hiding now. No one knows where the two of them are.
No.
But so I had just broken my arm, but like I didn't go to the doctor. So it was like not properly casted. I just had like it wrapped and whatever. So I have a picture on the set of That So Raven with Candace Cameron Bray where like my arm's just wrapped in like fucking, it was like tinfoil or something. You know, so I just, and I look like miserable because I'm in so much pain and I'm just like smiling because it was Candace Cameron Bray.
Well, the next episode we shoot is the second week in April, so you guys will have to come.
We're coming.
Oh my God. Yeah,
we can come to the filming. Yeah.
Well, I want to say real quick though, I do remember Raven on a Segway, and I just remember her on set and a Segway like with a bowl of pasta. And I'll never forget the imagery. It was just, she was like on that, you know, those Segway scooters. Just she was on. It was like when they first came out, like she was just.
I don't know.
A big ass bowl of pasta. And not talking to anyone, not talking to a single person, just riding on that Segway.
I don't know why having a bowl of pasta in the middle of the day is so aggressive.
And it was in one of those it was the middle of the day and it was one of those like styrofoam bowls, you know, like at craft service, but it was bowl of pasta. And I thought, I've never seen, it was almost like, you know, in WALL-E, like when the people are just like in those pods, not moving. It was like, that's what it looked like. It was just like, she's not interested in moving her legs at all. She's just on a Segway scooter. And God bless it, I would be too if I started my own Disney Channel show. I'd be like, get me the Segway. I'm riding on set.
Yeah, I'm not walking
on set.
No. She was also on like every show ever.
And
like,
a legend.
You know? A legend. She would just like bring up casually like, well, when I was on Hanging with Mr. Cooper, and I was like, oh shit.
Well, you said that when they were doing the meet and greet after your episode, that she had a puppy under her sweatshirt.
She had a big sweatshirt on and a puppy was under
it. Oh my God.
And so every now and then it would pop out near her neck and then go back down.
There's a comfort thing. Raven just loves pasta, puppies. I'm on board. Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge View fan and she was on The View for a few seasons. Very problematic. Yeah. Like not
right.
Not great on The View, but totally. You know what? That's not her sweet spot. Disney Channel is.
Yeah.
So when does that start, Jono? When is the Ravens?
I'm not sure when they...
If anyone's listening with kids, they'll tune in.
Yeah. It's like, I think the episodes will start like this summer.
Okay. But we'll go to set. when he
yeah, we'll go to set. I love you both. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for having us.
I want to encourage everyone to find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. And if you want to support this podcast and get access to bonus episodes, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic and click the become a patron button. And for $4 more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes. I want to thank Samsung Technologies for sponsoring the show. Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Love you. Thank you.